and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good with days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Mark Twain once said this about the Bible. He said, some people are troubled by the things in the Bible they don't understand. The things that trouble me are the things I can understand. I think this is very appropriate to the scripture that we just heard. This passage, Apostle Peter wrote to the church. The meaning is very simple. Pretty well everyone understands what it means. For example, it says, live in harmony with one another. Do not repay evil with evil and insult with insult. There's nothing profound, nothing difficult about the meaning of this. Yet, what troubles a lot of us is whether we are willing to do it or not. Take, for example, the instruction to live in harmony with one another. There are other versions of the Bible. It says to live with a like-minded with one another. In other words, God wants us to get along with one another. But throughout the history of the church, we haven't been very good at doing that. We fought over theology. For baptism, we fought whether it should be sprinkled by water or by immersion. In Lord's Supper, we argued whether the bread served as a symbol or whether the bread is really the body of Christ. And we also fought over many other things, not living like-minded or in harmony. For example, we fought over music style, music, whether it should be traditional or contemporary. Should we use organ to worship God or use guitar and drums? And sometimes we fall over practical matters like the color of the carpet. Churches divided over these issues, or whether we should put up a fence in our lawn or not. Peter wrote this letter to Christians who suffered all kinds of trials. Slaves experience injustice from their masters. Christian wives being harshly treated by their husbands. Citizens persecuted by government authorities. Yet in the midst of all this, Peter talked about how to experience the good life. All of us want good life. And here, today, I want to share with you some biblical advice on how to live the good life. First, you should think about what you say. Do you know how many words a person speaks every day? Well, if you are not sure, nowadays, we can always ask Mr. Google. Mr. Google says, on the average, a woman speaks 20,000 words a day, which is, on the contrary, the men, compared to men, they speak 7,000 words. For 20,000 words, it's equivalent to about 40 pages in print. So you can imagine a lot of time we speak. So the point is, if you spend so much time in speech, we better have the proper attitude of speaking and know how to speak right. Jesus set an example of how to respond to mistreatment. The previous chapter, when Jesus was trial, in verse 22, he committed to no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate, and he made no threats. So Jesus gave us an example not to speak back, not to threaten, and not to repay insults with words. Most human conflicts begins on the verbal levels. It is what we say that causes problems at work, in our marriage, among our friends, even at church. Keep your tongue from speaking evil. Prophet says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death. So use your tongue, your words, to produce life, not death. Also, Prophet 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. So we control how many words we speak. And in the New Testament, James also have something to say about words. James 1:19, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Therefore, think about what you say. Talk less. Practice patience. And when you do speak, speak carefully. Look for words that will encourage the hearts of those who hear you. So one key of living the good life is getting into the habit of thinking about what to say. The next principle is to think about what you do. Peter says in verse 10 and 11, whoever loves life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. So in other words, Peter says, not just stop doing evil, but positively do good. Often, we like to keep a list of do's and don'ts. And for some people, their lives stopped at the don'ts. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't listen to rock music, I don't wear clothes that is provocative. But of course, there are more serious don'ts that we have to pay attention. We need to avoid gossip, anger, jealousy, lust, pride, greed. So all these are good lists of don'ts. But we also need to put some energy into doing good, doing the good things. Isaiah 1:16, God is speaking here. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. So God said, don't do this. Stop doing evil. But then the next verse, God continued, learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. So in other words, not only we need to stop doing the negative, we also need to plan, take every opportunity to do good, to seek justice, to protect the innocents. Seek out opportunities to do good. Or as some saying, practice random acts of kindness. Recently, I heard of a delightful story of a McDonald at a McDonald drive-in lane in Indiana. On that day, it was Father's Day, the news princess. A woman was driving, waiting and pay for in the drive-in lane of McDonald on Father's Day. And she noticed from the rearview mirror, the next car is a van driven by a father with four kids behind, inside the van. So as she pulled to the cashier, she said, told the lady that, I'd like to pay for the van behind, what he ordered, you know. And then please tell this man, Happy Father's Day. So she paid for that meal. And then when the father drove up and he says, your order is free. The lady in front ahead of you paid for it. And then the father starts saying, well, in that case, I'm going to pay for the order of the next two cars. Okay. So that goes on and on. And it turned out that on that day, at the end of the day, they said, there were 160 cars. Pray it forward, they said. Pay it up forward. So that means in that McDonald's, it have 160 cars who drivers who get a free meal, free order. So random acts of kindness is contagious. It spread over. Do you want to experience the good life? According to Peter, make it a daily priority to find opportunities to do good. Perhaps you can hold the door open for someone with a whole handful of stuff, or for an old lady. Or say thank you whenever someone do you a favor, and other words of encouragement to the people at the cashier line, at the supermarket, or whatever. This is not about keeping score so that you can pat yourself on the back. It is about evaluating yourself to ensure that you live by life's priorities. And one of them is to do good in the name of God. And the Bible promised that you will be blessed. Proverbs 12:14 says, from the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things. As surely as the work of his hands reward him. And finally, but go back to Peter. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." God will take notice of our good deeds. His eyes look at the righteous acts, and his ears will listen to their prayer. In other words, God will bless us. Thirdly, we need to think about your attitude towards others. To live the good life, not just to think about what we say, not just to think about what we do, but we also need to think about your attitude toward others. Life is full of difficult people. In a such difficult situation, how do you respond to them? For Peter, he says in verse 9, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings. When someone tries to hurt you, you return in blessing them." And in verse 11, it says, "He must seek peace and pursue it." Peter understood something about relationship, because he got the seek and pursue part right. You see, to maintain a relationship is hard work. It is not easy to live at peace with others, but it is necessary. You have to seek and pursue. You have to be intentional. But because this is the necessary condition to live the good life. Similarly, Apostle Paul has something to teach us about relationship. For example, Romans 14, verse 19. "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." The Apostle Paul says, make every effort to do what leads to peace. So you have to ask yourself, in case of conflicts, how much effort have you made to resolve and lead to peace? Another verse, Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, verse 18, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You probably have a valid reason to hold a grudge against everybody you know. More than likely, your spouse has said something at some point or done something at some time that you could hold him or her forever. You did that on March 21st, 19 whatever. And that was, you can still hold a grudge against him or her if you want. The same can be said for your co-workers. He must have done something to you or not did something that he is supposed to do. Or your neighbors. So, but what do you do? Everybody here has a good reason to have a grudge against someone. But now, the Bible says, what you need to do What you need to do is to get over it. Rise above it. Let it go. He must seek peace and pursue it. So, go back to the original question. Do you want to live a good life? Think about your attitude towards others. Work hard and living at peace with them. Now, some of you may wonder, will this make me like some kind of doormat that people step on? No, it will make you like Jesus. And God will see what you do. Listen to Peter's words. If you do this, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. It is as simple as this. When you make an effort to get along with others, God will take notice. Now comes the conclusion. God loves to give you the good life. God's intention is to bless you with the good life, even amidst of trial and difficulties. And the keys are, think about what you say. Follow the example of Jesus. Be slow to speak. Keep silent if necessary. Think about what you do. Every day, look for the opportunity to do something good for someone else and do it. Don't just think about it, but also do it. Thirdly, think about your attitude towards others, even with those who have offended you. Seek to be at peace with everyone. Try harder than everyone else is willing to try. Bend more than everyone willing to bend over backwards. And if you do all this, according to God's promise, He will take notice. You will experience the good life. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, you have given us set up an example that you did not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. And yet you take steps to reconcile the whole world to the Father by sacrificing, offering yourself. We thank you. Now you have given us the example. We have experienced your grace. Help us to be the vessel, to be the channel of blessings to the world around us. Help us seek peace and pursue it. And help us to bring the good news to the world. For we pray all this in Christ Jesus' name.